This week's parasha is parasha's Shalach. It's a tragic parasha. The story of Lashon Hara, speaking Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. Let's begin back. Okay, for Moshe Rabbeinu, he tells them, Vayalu, he tells them, I want you to go to Eretz Yisrael to spy in the land. If we jump a little bit ahead to Pasuk Yudches, Perek Yudgil, Pasuk Yudches, Re'isen Es Aretz, I want you to take a good hard look at the land, Mahi. V'yasa'am Hayashev Alecha, Hechazoku harafe, are they strong or are they weak? Hamaathu imrov, are they small or are they many? Umaretz asha hu yeshebo, hatevahi imra, is it good, is it evil? Umoharim asha hearim asha hu yeshebo hena, habimachanim imbimivtrim. Do they live in open cities or do they live in fortified cities, cities that have walls? It's very interesting, Rashi. Rashi here in the Pasuk Yudches says, Rashi, Esaretz Mahi Yesh Eretz Megadel Skivarim. Okay, I'm jumping ahead. Next Rashi, Hechazok Hu Harofe. Is it strong? Is it weak? Simin Mosar Lohem. Rashi here says that Moshe Rabbeinu gave a simin to the Meraglim. What is the simin? Im Biprazim Yoishrim. If you come to Eretz Yisrael, you take note that they live in open cities. There are no walled cities. Open cities. Chazokim heim. That is a bad sign. That means that the people are very confident. They're very confident. They're very mighty. They're confident. If when we come into attack, we're going to have to put up a fight. Because they have confidence. They don't bother with security. There's no alarm system. They leave the door open. They sit with a rifle. They sit with the rifle under their pillow. They're just waiting for someone to come in so they can have fun with them. Shasaimchem al givurasan. The front door is open. You know we got trouble. On the other hand, if you come into Eretz Yisrael, the security cameras all over the place. You can't today walk Dalet Amos on my block alone, and there are four people on my block recently put in security cameras. Would you believe it? Walk down the block. It's like a prison. You're under surveillance. What? What do you do Shabbos? I don't know. You walk into shul. What do you hear? What do you do in shul on Shabbos? Forget about outside. There's a camera in shul itself on Shabbos. It's not a problem. Uh-huh. And especially if no one in the screen. Okay, fine. The rabbi says this. The rabbi. There are many heterim, but the whole you cannot walk in the street if you're not afraid to be caught on camera. So. But if in ba'adim b'tzuras heim yoishim, Rashi goes on, if they're living in fortified cities, if they're living in cities with four, that means that's his indication, chaloshim heim, they are weak. This is the simon. What? Chapter 13, pasuk 18. 13:18. Rashi says, the Moshe Rabbeinu gave them a simon, this is what you should look out for. And then the pasuk goes on to say, the pasuk explains, Rashi goes on, is the city, habimachanim im bimitzarim. Bimachanim means open cities. Rashi explains the unusual word, it means an open city, and bimitzarim means a fortified city with walls. Same idea, it's an explanation, it's an elaboration. This will be the simon. Okay, very good. Let's jump ahead. The Meraglim go to Eretz Yisrael, they come back and they issue a report. In the report, they say as follows. By Saprulo, the Meraglim speak up. By Yamu Bonu, we have come il Oretz Asher Shilachtonu that you have sent us. Vigam, you know, it's not so bad. Zovas cholov udvash hi v'ze perya. Like you said, Moshe Rabbeinu was an eretz zovas chol udvash. And look, I'll give you a sample here of the fruits. Let me show you the fruits. Okay. Then they go on to say Ephes. Ephes we simply translate as butter. If anyone has an article in the translation, everyone has a translation. What does it in your translation? In Pasuk 28. I'm curious. You have over here the Intel 28. Whatever you have, Ephes we translate it as but. Ki as ha'am, the people are mighty. Hayashay ba'aretz ve'he'odim b'tzuros g'dilos me'odim, and the cities are fortified. V'gam yildei ho'anot yirusham, and there are giants. There are the children of giants living in the land. Okay, now before we go further, I remember last year, if I'm not mistaken, there's a very, if we were given the assignment to write the Torah, we would probably say the word avol. This is an old vart from last year. Avol, I saw this in a sefer called, I can't remember the name. I know exactly what the sefer looks like, but I forgot the name. Will come to me in a moment. But the problem is, if we were writing the sefer Torah, we would write Avol Ki Az Ha'al. But And the truth is, if the Meraglim would have said the word Avol, maybe in Ochinami they would not have been viewed as such great sinners. Because you can't expect everything to be perfect. There's no such thing as perfection in this world. There are good things and there are bad things. The good things you accept, you embrace, and the problems you deal with, you work with the problems. So if Klal Yisrael would have come back and would have said, the land is Zovas Cholov Udvash. Ah, it's a beautiful land. But there are problems. Okay, so we'll accept the good, we'll mock your toy for the good, and we'll deal with the problems. Then there would never have been a Parsha Shelach, there would never have been a Tisha B'Av, everything would have been wrong. If we want to trace the Shoresh, the root evil of the Meraglim, it's in one word. Instead of saying the word Avol, they chose the word Ephes. Ephes has a connotation, the land flows with milk and honey, but it's worthless. Ephes. It means nothing, because the problems are so great. Yotzo Schoroi Behefseido. The sin of the Meraglim was their choice of word Ephes. There's broch on the land, but Hashem, you can take back your bracha. To us, the bracha is Ephes. It's worthless. Okay, that is a var to itself. Okay, I want to go a little bit further. There's a very great difficulty in this pasuk. Keith asks, what do the Meraglim say? They tell Moshe Rabbeinu that people are as, they're mighty. Hayoshev are to live in the land. Now, according to the siman that Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Meraglim, if the people are mighty, then what should that mean? That should mean that where are they living? They're living in open cities. Rashi, in the very beginning, told them, I'm giving you one piece of advice. If you come to the country and you see the people are living in open cities, that automatically is indication that it's a mighty country. Ki'az. They're tough people. But if you come and they're living in walled cities, that means they're weaklings. They're afraid. They have fear. Why would you have an alarm system if you're confident? It must mean that they got problems. But the people, they say, as ha'am, they're mighty. Hayashay ba'aretz. Ve'he'arim bitzurois gedoylois me'oid. Contradiction. They're living in fortified cities, and they're mighty. What have the Meraglim here done? What the Meraglim over here have done is, they're saying, Moshe Rabbeinu, you don't know what you're talking about. According to Ephes, the complaint of the Meraglim against Moshe Rabbeinu is not a complaint about the land. It's a complaint about you, Moshe, the leader. In fact, Chazal said the reason why the Meraglim spoke Lashon Hara was because they were afraid that if they'll come into Eretz Yisrael, they're going to lose their leadership, they're going to lose their job. Who's the boss? Moshe is the boss. How do we maintain our position? We get rid of our supervisor, a new manager. A new manager comes to town until we'll figure out how the business runs. We'll be here, we'll already retired by that time. The chait of the Meraglim was not, if you look at the pasuk very clearly, this is not totally my idea, I saw part of this idea somewhere else, is that they're coming to delegitimize Moshe Rabbeinu by telling him the simonim that you have given us are dead wrong. You told us that these two things are mutually exclusive. If you're as, you're living in open cities. If you're weak, you're living in fortified cities. They come, we've come to the land. It's a gewaldige land. It's Zavas Cholov Udvash. But Moshe Rabbeinu, you're Hashkafa. You're taking us into Eretz Yisrael to be Mekayim the Torah with a hashkafa. Moshe Rabbeinu, there's something wrong with you. I think it's time for you to step down and retire, because your observation, your hashkafa, your battle plan is corrupt. How do I know your battle plan? Because the one sinin that you gave us is off, and therefore Ephes, you are Moshe Rabbeinu. You are nothing. Yeah.
They're right.
What do you mean they're right?
Right, because Moshe made a mistake. His mistake wasn't sending not Meraglim, but he sent
the leaders. Okay, that's another discussion. That's not a mistake. Yeah.
So how, you know, if you send a prince somewhere, and you know he's going to want a bed that's going to be comfortable.
Okay.
He's going to want to have everything.
Okay.
He doesn't understand what strength means.
The Ramban says that Kodesh Baruch Hu told him to send. It doesn't say here send. Kodesh Baruch Hu, number one, expanded the group from 2 spies to 12. And number two, Kodesh Baruch Hu said to the scene, wanted everybody to have a chelik in the decision that was going to come out of it. So it wasn't just Moshe that sinned.
Okay, you can't say Moshe sinned. Klal Yisrael sinned. Moshe, shlach lecha. Moshe, in fact, did not want to send the spies. Shlach lecha. Okay, but I think there's something very deep here. Rashi is telling us, this review, Rashi is telling us that Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them, we're going into Eretz Yisrael, we're giving a simon. And the first thing that they say is, your simon is wrong. Why are they saying that? Because when you focus on the simon, they're focusing that Moshe Rabbeinu, you're the problem. You are the problem, not the land. And when that is a chelik of complaining against Eretz Yisrael, when you don't hold from the leaders of Eretz Yisrael, when you don't, the leadership of Eretz Yisrael is part and parcel of the land itself. The complaint was against Moshe, and that was considered to be a complaint against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a complaint against Eretz Yisrael. You can't have a yishuv of Eretz Yisrael without having leaders in Eretz Yisrael. And here, it's a different way, perspective, to look at this parasha.
Just to check for a minute. Two people already touched on an eye. He said about the Maragol being set up here a little bit. And the Avraham Benel makes a very powerful observation over here. He says, Shlach Lachon Hashem Yosuru Eretz Kanaan. That's the only Dasher, and he knows saying it like Israel, and I think it's Rashi or whoever says that no saying is Chaser because Nosan could be read Nosan, I already gave it, so there's nothing for you to do but for your suru, go on a tour. Moshe went ahead and introduced Hekel Zohu and Rav, Havamachanim and Mitzarim, Hashmein Ohi and Rozah. He added all these things. See, he put thoughts into the head to check the things that made them think maybe we have to be concerned if they're weak or strong. God didn't tell him to do that. Moshe added that on his own, and that's why he says in Parshas Devarim, it says, Gam bi hisanaf Hashem yidrachem leimor, gam atolo sofosham. I thought it was the main Meriva that he didn't go in. But this was the beginning and the end for Moshe because he introduced these thoughts into the head that Hashem didn't tell Moshe to say.
Okay.
So in that respect, it was set up.
Okay, very good, very good.
There were two, as you read, person, there are two different tracks going on here. It's not even one relates to the other. And he says the Ramban here in our parsha, it was straight exploration. I mean, to go explore Be'esur means like you mentioned it later, Ramban says, and also what Yeshua did. And what he told him, according to Ramban, maybe differs with Abravanel, what he told him to look at, you and I have talked about before, was just what you normally see in the country. What you look for are what you see. See what you see in your fourth track. And then Hashem, and that's one track. And that's the Eibishter talking. Ironically, it's it. And in Devarim, the second track was what Moshe, right? Because there it says, you came to me, and whatever. And the Ramban claims that the pre-event of they came to him and all that is first referenced in Devarim. There's no discussion taking in Shlach between Klal Yisrael and Moshe Rabbeinu. You don't see it here. It's like all of a sudden Hashem says, "V'davar Hashem Moshe Lema Shlach Lecho." Where did it come from? So there's no as I said, the Ramban first says over there in Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Now let me tell you what took place before Hashem had the conversation with me."
Okay, this is an elaboration. Okay, very, very good. Okay. Let's just go now. We're going to go to another idea. This is not more of another observation. From all the 12 Meraglim, the only ones that brought back a good report was Yehoshua and Kalev. From which Shevet did Yehoshua come from? Shevet Ephraim. Shevet Ephraim is a descendant of Yosef. From whom did Yehuda come from? Kalev. Kalev is Shevet Yehuda. So I saw in the Sefer, which is very interesting, I think the Al-Sheikh takes note of this, is, and go back to Chumash Bereishis, from all of the Shvatim, who were the ones from the Bnei Yaakov that brought a false report, or an evil report, to their father? Yosef and Yehuda. Yosef, the pasuk says, "Vayovei dibosom ro'o el avihem." He brought an evil report to their father. What was the report? They're eating from Aver min hachai. They're being mezalzel the bnei shefachos. They're doing different averos. It was not 100% accurate, but it's "Vayovei dibosom ro'o." Yehuda was the one who presented the kesoines pasim, hakerno hakesoines bini.
Say it wasn't Yehuda, because he says Haksonis bin Cho, one of the sons say that Lashon.
Yeah.
It's Haksonis bin E.
Yeah.
But since it says bin Cho, yeah, he sent a messenger.
A messenger?
Code, so it shouldn't implicate.
Okay, but Chazal say it was Yehuda. He was.
He sent somebody with the code and they said, whoa.
But Chazal say it was Yehuda. It was Yehuda, okay, who was the one. So we have over here something very fast, and we have over here a conflict between this is just an observation. I don't have a complete idea, but I want to point out, make this point. We have here in Chumash Bereishis, the only two Shvatim that we find are involved in the promoting false news. Today you go online, everything is Sheker v'chazav, is Yosef and Yehuda. Vayavei diba somra'a, and Yehuda hakerna. Is this the Kesonis B? What are you telling your father, hakerna? It's obviously, you know that he's alive. What is going on? And yet here, when they're going into Eretz Yisrael years later, it is their descendants from specifically their tribes are the only two who are coming back and bringing a true report.
They
they learned the lesson. They are doing tshuva, and it's not only doing tshuva. Here, these two who brought the false reports were against one another. Yosef was one who brought the false report against all of the shvatim. Okay, it was against all the shvatim, but Yehuda was the one that was taking revenge, so to speak, against brother Yosef. Hakerna, that Yosef has died. He was leading in the mechiras Yosef. So, and yet here, look what's taking place these years later on when they're coming to Eretz Yisrael. These two together are working together to bring a true report that Eretz Yisrael toiva haaretz ma'od, not like the other Meraglim. Yeah?
Did
you choose? And that's what I mean, yeah?
Why Moshe didn't pray for Kalev also?
Why?
Why did Moshe not pray for Kalev?
The Pasuk says, Zeruach Acheres
Haisabo. That's correct.
Right.
Exactly. Because he was a rebel. He was a rebel Kalev. He was not. He didn't go along with the crowd.
He was. Okay.
And so, because what did Kalev do? He went to pray through the Olos.
Right.
Which was totally a different thing. So he didn't need the prayer of
Moshe Rabbeinu. He had his own Koyach HaTfilah. When you have your own Koyach HaTfilah, you don't need the best Koyach HaTfilah. When a person, Rachman, says, Achel, Mesech, Beso, Yelech, Eitzer, El, Chacham. Why should you go to a Chacham? So Pasha Shadim means that the Chacham should give you a bracha. But many Rishonim say you should go to the Chacham. The Chacham should teach you how you should be mispalel. The ultimate tefillah is you should be mispalel yourself. Yoshua did not have that mad koyach of tefillah, and mainly he needed the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu. But Kalev had his own koyach tefillah. Moshe knew that Kalev would go to the Maaris Nachpel to be mispalel. Mimela, when you have your own koyach tefillah, what do I have to give you a bracha? I should be mispalel for you. You be mispalel for yourself.
One of the problems side of that was Yeshua was an honor, so he could be influenced by others. Kalev was not
okay. Okay, let's go to another idea. I saw this very fascinating idea in Rabbi Wolfson's Sefer Emunah Sitecha. He asked a very obvious question, which all the commentators they take note of. Moshe Rabbeinu gave very clear instructions to all of the Shvatim that they should bring back, they should take from the Prioritz. Ulekachtem v'hischazaktem ulekachtem mi Prioritz. Chazal u'nedash ulekachtem. You have the same exact word by the Dalad Minim on Sukkis. Ulekachtem lochem v'yom harishon priyitzader ulekachtem chazadashon lekichol chol echad v'yachad. There's no shlichus. Every single person must take a lekicha lechol achas yachas, take their own set of dalid minin. And therefore, if we take that idea and we put it into this pasuk, it means that Moshe told each one of the 12 shvatim, each one of you should bring back a fruit from Eretz Yisrael and present the fruit to Klal Yisrael. Yet, when we look at what happened, when the shvat, when they come back, what does it say? It says that only 10 of the 12 Meraglim brought back fruit. Kalev and Yehoshua, we don't find them speaking. These are the Meraglim speaking, the 10 Meraglim. He, Vizeh, Peria. Here is a sample fruit. We don't find anywhere in the Pesukim Yeshua, but they go on to complain. And then Vayahas Kolei Vesa'am and Yeshua, and they say Toiv Aretz Ma'od Ma'od, but we don't find at least explicitly in the Pesuk Yeshua and Kolei presenting a fruit. fruit from the land, only the 10 of the 12 meraglim. What happened? But Moshe said, "Lekachtem mipri aretz." Every single one of you shall take a fruit of the land. And we know the midrashim. In fact, they did not. In fact, the midrashim, the ones who carried the fruit, were the 10 meraglim. Yeshua and Kalev were not even involved in carrying the fruit.
Why did each one have to bring it? Why couldn't one bring it?
The part that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Ulekachtem. So this is the question: why don't we find in the pasuk Yeshua and Kalev taking back fruit? So Rabbi Wolfson says an incredible idea, fascinating. He says, "Whoever told you l'tachnu l'chem peretz means to bring back fruit? What Moshe Rabbeinu really told them to do was to eat the fruits." You go to Eretz Yisrael. You know, we have a Moshe Rabbeinu when he wanted to cross over the Yarden. Hashem says, "Why did Moshe want to go across the Yarden? Did he want to eat from the fruit of Eretz Yisrael?" Why does the Gemara? Yeah, the answer is yes. There's a havamin that Moshe. Why? But Moshe Rabbeinu, we told the Meraglim, "I want you to go to Eretz Yisrael. I want you to eat. Go to the restaurants. Go to the pizza stores. Eat. Go to the good hotels. I want you to eat." Ulekachtem mipri haaretz. Here's the problem. Yeshua and Kalev did not bring back food. You know why? Because they, in fact, they ate from the fruit. The 10 Meraglim did not eat from the fruit. They instead brought back fruit to show. Moshe l'macha David. I mean, this is the most, a very powerful Moshe. When you go to Eretz Yisrael, here with going to Eretz Yisrael, there are people who go to Eretz Yisrael, and what do they do in Eretz Yisrael? They just take pictures. Pictures, no offense to the photographer. They go to Eretz Yisrael, and all you do is a picture, 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 picture. I went here, I went there, you go touring. And then there are people who go and they leave the camera at home, and they go to experience Eretz Yisrael. They live, they go to the Batei Midrashim, and they learn in this space medish, and they dive in this space medish, and they experience Eretz Yisrael. They don't go as tourists, they go to experience the land. The Meraglim, Yeshua and Kalev, they went. Yeshua and Kalev, they went, Hischazakhtem, Ulekachtem mipri aretz. Take from the fruit and eat the fruit. Experience Eretz Yisrael. If you'll experience Eretz Yisrael, you'll come back as a different person. You'll come back with a good report. The Meraglim, they didn't experience the land. They just came in observers. UN observers. They came a picture, picture, picture. You don't want to experience the land. You want to observe the land. You'll just come back with complaints. The hotel wasn't good. The traffic was horrible. And the flight was a disaster. If you come back with a photo album, with an experience, that's what it says. Here it says, we went there. We went on a tour. We took all the tours. We got the best tour guides. It's a beautiful land. And look, look at the pictures. Did you spend time taking in the experience of Eretz Yisrael? No, we didn't have time. We were very busy. We just did the snap pictures. Yeshua the Kalev, that's why they came back with Lashon Hara. But Yeshua the Kalev were Mikhayim v'hischazakhtem ulekachtem mipri haaretz, the way Moshe Rabbeinu meant it to be. Go there, take from the fruit, eat the fruit. What's the food? The food is the spiritual food. Go to the Beis Medrash. You sit and learn. Go to the nice shul, sit and daven, experience, go to the koisel, spend the whole day at the koisel. That's the ikar ulekachtem mipri haaretz. And then when you'll come back with a beautiful report about Eretz Yisrael. Okay, next, let's go to another idea. The end of the parasha, we learn about tzitzis. A lot of the commentators tell us that the reason why the parasha begins with the miraglim and ends with tzitzis, which indicates that the tzitzis are an antidote to the chet ha-miraglim. Why would the tzitzis be an antidote to the miraglim? So there are many ideas. One idea I want to suggest is when Yeshua v'Kalev heard about the report, the evil report of the miraglim, it says they ripped their clothing. When they heard this terrible thing and what's going to happen, Karu v'Yoshua b'Nun v'Chaleb ben Yefune min ha'Tanes Aretz Karu b'Deihem. Why is it necessary to tell us? Obviously, the fact that the Torah is telling us it was an extreme expression of grief hearing the Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. What was the reward? What was the end of the parasha? The tshuva to where it tzitzis. Where are tzitzis put on the kanfei big dayhem? Not only that, if you learn the very halacha, not everyone is even aware of this halacha. If you ever take a note at your talus, on the corner of the talus, there are these white patches. Why are there white patches on the talis, on a good quality talis cotton and a talis cuddle? Because if the talis, the corner of the talis is ripped,
right,
you're not allowed to put on tzitzis. It's a known situation. It's a perish a shulchan aruch. Because there's a concern that if it's ripped, there may be some stitches. You'll try to stitch it up, and you may use from those stitches. You'll cheat. Instead of putting into the garment four chutim and folding them over, you'll use one of the leftover stitches that were used to stitch up the damaged garment as it sits, and it's not kosher. So as a gezera, if a garment is ripped on the corner, you're not allowed to wear the garment until you repair it, and the ultimate way to repair it is to put on a plate, to put on a patch on the corner. That's why, to make a long story short, that's why on the corner of all the our talisos, we have a patch on the corner just in case there is a rip and there should not be any problem. A garment of tzitzis, it's not just that the tzitzis is an extension. Number one, the garment, in order to be mekayem the mitzvah of tzitzis, number one, the garment may not be ripped. And number two, the tzitzis is an extension of the garment. It's a way of saying that we have learned the lesson of lashon hara. We've taken to heart. There are many similarities of Elohim. So sudu acharei levavchem, your eyes should not stray. The people who went to Eretz Shol, vayasuru es haaretz, they were looking for trouble. They did not want to go into Eretz Yisrael. They had their own agenda. They were looking for chesronos. They were looking to make trouble. When you look at the tzitzis, the loy sasuru acharei levavchem v'acharei einechem, don't look for trouble. And why do we put this sign on our garments? Because the ultimate, the last pasuk, it's mamish, the last pasuk of the Meraglim, the frustration is not the last pasuk, but it's almost the last pasuk is Karu Vigdehem, the tsar of hearing people fail in this inyan of looking for trouble was an expression of grief where they rip their clothing. The antidote is to look for something good, the tchelas, the tzitzis, and you bedavka put this on the garment which is complete, which is shalem, as a sign that we should not be nichshol in lashon hara about Eretz Yisrael. It also makes sense. It also helps out in understanding why the minhag is that before we say kriya shema, when we come to the part of Ahava Rabba, the keraftan, the Avi'enu l'shalom me'arba kanfoy soretz v'solichenu komimius li'artzenu. Why do we at that point in time gather the tzitzis from the tzitzis? So simply we'll say from the four corners. What was the words I just said? V'havienu l'shalom me'arba kanfoy, the four corners of the garment. So the four corners of the world. So we gather, but more importantly, v'solichenu komimius li'artzenu. Hashem shall take us upright to our land. When we read these words in the Ahava Rabba, we are expressing our appreciation for Eretz Yisrael, the Komamius Liartzenu. And therefore, we take the tzitzis. Because the tzitzis is, if you have tzitzis, it means your garments are not shredded. Your garments are not ripped. And in addition to a perfect garment, you have an extension of the garment. That is the opposite of what the Meraglim did, which resulted in the tsar, in the frustration of the tzaddikim, ripping their garments. Instead of ripping the garments, we're going to wear good garments. Wearing good garments is the rectification of the chait of Lashon Hara on Eretz Yisrael. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have the minhag to say every day after we finish Kriya Shema, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher, last pasuk in this parasha, Asher Tzeis Yischem Eretz Mitzrayim Lios Lachem Elokim, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. And then we append to Elokeichem MS. Why? So Chazal say, well, there's another pasuk in Zechariah that says, V'Hashem Elokeichem Emes. So once already you're saying Hashem Elokeichem, you know, it wouldn't be such a great idea to say the word Emes, to attach to an Emes based upon that pasuk. Okay, that is the pasuk pshat why we say Emes. But perhaps we can have another drush why we say the word Emes. When Moshe Rabbeinu in this week's parasha was mispalel, that was mevakesh from HaKadosh Baruch Hu a mechila for the sins of the Meraglim, he kamat says all of the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. Moshe Rabbeinu says, we have very powerful psukim. These psukim we actually say on Yom Kippur. Slachnu lavoin hamazeh higodil chastecha v'chasher dasos lamzim mitzvah yadhina v'yomer Hashem slachni kivrech. These are very powerful psukim. Then before we got those psukim, Moshe Rabbeinu says, they say, okay, Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, the yud gimel tiviato yigdam lokay Hashem kasher dibarat leimar Hashem erech apayim. Okay, we have erech apayim v'rav chesed. Noisei avoin vofosha v'nakei lo yinakei peked avoin avois albonim v'al al shlishim v'al ribayim. Which word is mysteriously missing? Okay, besaki b'chad sabba. Which word of the yud gimel midas harachim, which is really stands out that is missing because it's right in the middle of a sentence. Kel is also missing, but in the middle of a sentence, Hashem erech apayim v'rav chesed v'enes. One of the yud gimel midas harachamim is the word ve'emes, and that word has been plucked out of this pasuk. Hashem, okay, Hashem, Hashem. Only says, at least it says Hashem once. It doesn't say kel. You can say kel is included in the previous expression. Yigdal no koyach Hashem. Kel means mighty. Koyach Hashem is a substitute for kel. But here in the middle, Hashem, Erech Apayim, Rav Chesed, where is the MS? Where is the MS? MS is missing. So the commentators answered, you know why Moshe Rabbeinu did not say MS? It would be a chutzpah to say MS. Because the essence of the chait of the Meraglim is Sheker. The Meraglim spoke Sheker. They gave forth Sheker about Eretz Yisrael. So for Moshe Rabbeinu now to say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Rachmanes upon Klal Yisrael, when you meet with MS, MS, MS is not going to help you here, Moshe Rabbeinu. When we're dealing with a problem of Sheker, MS is not going to work. Therefore, I'm not going to help you. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu had no choice but to leave out. When we every single day on Mekayim, the midst of tzitzis, and tzitzis is the antidote, is the tshuva for the chait of the Meraglim. The Meraglim's chait is, they looked for trouble, by Yavohu Lassur Es Haaretz. Hashem has given us the antidote of tzitzis, v'loi sosuru acharei levavchem v'acharei einechem asher etem zonim acharehem. The tzitzis is the antidote for the chait of the Meraglim. Now, when we come to the end of the parsha, ani Hashem lokechem asher tzeis yeschem yeretz rem liyos lachem lukim, ani Hashem lokechem, now we can be mashlim what Moshe Rabbeinu left out. Now we can say emes. Our whole existence is to do tshuva for the chait ha-meraglim. Tishabov, vayivku balayla hahu. Every single day we saw from the Chum Beis Hamidrash because of the Meraglim. Moshe Rabbeinu did already for us 99% of the tshuva. He said, Hashem, keler chapayim, v'rav chesed, nase oven, v'fosha, v'nakei lo yinakei, pekeid, avon, ovo, salbonim. Moshe Rabbeinu did everything for us, but Moshe Rabbeinu had no choice but to leave out the word emes, because the chait of the Meraglim was the chait of sheker. After the chait of the Meraglim was over, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the mitzvah of tzitzis, and the mitzvah of tzitzis is going to be our avodah to do tshuva for the chait of Eloi Sussur Achrei Levav Achrei Nechem. So now we come to the end of Kriya Shema, now we can finally be mashlim the tshuva of Moshe Rabbeinu, emes. Yes.
What about Myra? Why do we say
emes? We all say emes. MS, we use MS Vemuna, not MS Vyatsev. What do you mean?
MS Vyatsev is part of the.
No, MS, M Vyatsev is a targum for. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, MS. The only difference is that Ma'ariv we say MS Vemuna, and Shachris we say MS Vyatsev, but we say MS both times.
But there's no tzitzis by night.
That's another question. Did it see us Mitzrayim? Did it see us Mitzrayim? It doesn't make a difference. But since already we're saying the parsha of tzitzis, once already we're saying the parsha of tzitzis, which represents the concept of doing tshuva for the chait of. Yes, you're reading the parsha. It's Talmud Torah. Even though if you can't do the kind of mitzvah, but Nushalma Fonim Sefaseinu. Conceptually, when we read the parsha of tzitzis, we are thinking about the chait of the Meraglim. We're thinking about Avera. We're reminded that there is such a concept of Eloi Sosudu Achrei Levavchem V'Achrei Nechem. We should not look for what we're not supposed to be looking for. We should look for the good in Eretz Yisrael, and Nineila will be able to be mashlim the yud gimel midah sarachamim with precisely the midah that Moshe Rabbeinu left out. Moshe left out emes, but now that we have tzitzis, we can fill in the missing link, the missing amida of emes. Okay, now let's go to another idea. We have here the end of the parasha, the chut of tcheles. Okay, first I'll tell you a beautiful vart I saw from the Chidush Horim. Beautiful, beautiful vart. The Chidush Horim says, when is the Zman short for it? When does the Zman of Tzitzis begin? The Zman of Tzitzis begins, he has to be able to see. When can the person see? Mishayakir bein lovon, the Gemara says, lovon l'tcheles. When you can see the difference between blue and white. The Gemara gives another example, which is the same exact time when you can imakir your friend. When you can see your friend, who you are semi-familiar with, not very close with, but not completely distant with, you can see him at a distance of Dalid Amos. An acquaintance. When you recognize an acquaintance at a distance of Dalid Amos, that is already, there's enough light in the sky when you can now make the bracha on the tzitzis. Period. So we have over here two different shiurim which are exactly the same. The differentiation between the white and the blue is the same time during the day when you can recognize a friend who you, an acquaintance. Period. Now, there's a question. It says in the pasuk, "Uisem, uisem, uisem, oso." Grammatically, it should have been "Uisem oso." Medrash asks this question: "Uisem oso, you shall see the tchilas." "Uisem oso." Why does it say Uisem also? So the Medrash says when you're looking at the Tcheles, you're really looking at the Shechina. You mean Merkabel, this is the famous Chazal, the Merkabel of the Shechina, the Tcheles is Demel Yam, Yam is Demel Rekia, and the Rekia is Demel Leki, say HaKavod. So the reason why it says the word Oso, and not Oso in the masculine, not in the feminine, which should have been grammatically correct, when we reference the Tcheles, Tcheles is feminine, you should have said Oso, because when you look at the Tcheles, you're really looking at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always described in Chazal masculine. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is masculine, so when you're looking at the Tchelis, you're really being makabel the Shechina, you're looking at the Shechina. So the Chiddush Yerim says, what is the Musar Haskel? When is a person roy to be makabel the Shechina, to be makir, to be makabel the Isim, so look at the Tchelis, when you know how to greet your friend. When you know how to appreciate a human being is created in the Tselem Elokim. When you're able to be makir, that's another person. I'm not the only one who lives in this world. It's hard to imagine, it's hard to believe that there can be another person who is also a human being. I thought it was all about me. Me, myself, and I. When a person can reach a madrega, when you can see in the street another person and be makir and recognize you are also a human being. You have now reached a madrega where you're now roy to be makabel the shechina uriisim or so. You can see the ribayne shalom because it's all the same. A human being is created in the demos elokim. Okay, that's a short part. Now let's go to something a little more significant. We come to zrochav hazoina. Rochav hazoina, the haftarah, is a very popular haftarah. This week, all the haftarahs, I think Rabbanim, there's a lot of the Sfarim, they like to go to town on the haftarah and Sefer Yeshua. We only learn Sefer Yeshua 3 times a year. When do we learn it? Simchas Torah, Parsha Shalach, and I forgot the third. What was the third? What? I forgot. 3 times a year. Shalach. Okay, whatever it is. 3 times a year we learn from Sefer Yehoshua. Those shuls who buy a sarim klaf, the last one they buy is Sefer Yehoshua. Because it's only 3 times a year. What? They buy Yeshaya, Yirmiyah, Yecheskel, Yeshaya, Sefer Yeshua is always, there's a shortage, there's a very big shortage. There's no shortage of Yeshayas, but there's a shortage of Yehoshua's. It's not a popular saying because only three, okay. But in any event, we have Rochav HaZoyna. Rochav HaZoyna, Yehoshua, and the Meraglim, the two Yeshua. Who was the Meraglim? It was Kolev, the same one as before, Kolev, the same Kolev. Second round. He had experience. Kolev and Yefune had experience, and Yeshua didn't go. Yeshua was the Melech, he did not go. Who was the second one? Pinchas. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, he went to, as he was the spy. What did he tell Rochav? You should make a simon. What is the simon? A red string. A red string, the red bendel. Hang down a red string. And the words she used, it's a powerful word, it ties very well into what we just said 1 moment ago. It says, an ois emes. Okay, I want you to swear to me. I want you to swear. Hiranachnu boim. Let me find the pasuk. Nafshenu sachteichem. Here it is, Pasuk Yudbeis in the Haftarah. V'ata hishavu no li b'Hashem ki osisi imochem choset v'asisem gam atem im beis avi chesed unisatem li ois emes. I want you to give me an ois emes. And he tells her what to do, to put in the window the chut hashani. Okay, that was the oisemes. Where is the pasuk later on? Batikshor es tikvas hashani b'chaloin. Okay, the tikvas hashani was, in one respect, the oisemes. Now, just going back one moment, it's fascinating that this is the Haftarah. Why is this the Haftarah? It's not only because it's the Meraglim, it's because there are many reasons why this Haftarah perfectly parallels the Parsha, the Meraglim. It's also an appreciation of Eretz Yisrael. These were Meraglim who went with the right Kavana. They didn't go to check out the land. Should we ascend? Should we not? We're going. It's just a question of how we're going. We go no matter what. It was the proper way to spy on the land. But furthermore, another level, another layer of depth in the Haftarah is here is the Hashlama of Emes. They went with Emes. When they went to Eretz Yisrael, they had to be Mekayim a Shavua. They made a Shavua. A Shavua is the Midah of Emes. We're coming into Yerichai. There is going to be a family who was helpful, who helped us. We made a Shavua. We're going to be Machzik in the Midah of Emes. It was critical. It was the divine plan that everything depended upon saving Rachav and her family, because they took a Shavua. A Shavua is Emes. They went on a mission, and rule number one of the mission was to be Mekayim, the Shavua of Emes. Unlike the Meraglim, who were Kul Sheker. And Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was Mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, was unable to say the Midah of Emes. Here, they were able, they went with the Ois Emes, they came going in with the Midah of Emes, again, tying in very well to the end of Kriya Shema, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Emes. Okay, but let's go a little bit further. What was the color of the chut, of the chut of the row, it was red. So isn't that very interesting? We have over here two chutim in this week's parasha, one in parasha from the Haftarah, one is red and one is blue. We wear the tzitzis, which is blue, a blue chut, and then there's something called a red chut. What is the significance of a red chut? I want to suggest the following. What I'm telling you possibly is total nonsense, but I would not be telling you this if I did not believe that there was at least a mashahu of MS, a hope. I'm hoping there's a mashahu of MS in what I'm about to tell you. Maybe not. We come to Chazal tell us in this week's parasha that the parasha of Bikurim is very much associated with the Meraglim. The Meraglim, they brought Mipri Haaretz, the Hayomim Yimei Bikurei Anovim. Bikurim, there are three different fruits that are mentioned. There's the Eshkol, there is the fig, the date, and the grape. Three things that are mentioned over here in this week's parasha. In the Mishnah Masechta the Bikurim, in Perek Gimel, it talks about the procedure, the technique of Bikurim. And it says in the Mishnah that you should go into your field, and when you see that a fig or a grape or a date begins to ripen, you shall take a blade of grass and tie it around and declare, this is Bikurim. Why did the Mishnah specify specifically those three? It's Zelumazeh. Bikurim represents the appreciation of the land. The vidui of Bikurim, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, you read Bikurim, is you praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Haggadah, what we say in the Haggadah, that you've taken us out of Egypt, and you've brought us, and you've given us this blessed land. In fact, if a person does not own land in Eretz Yisrael, he cannot bring Bikurim. You bring Bikurim. Bikurim represents the appreciation. It is a statement that we appreciate Eretz Yisrael. Where do you put the Bikurim? V'hinachtoi lifnei mizbach Hashem Elokecha. The Bikurim, this appreciation, the antidote to the hate of the Meraglim who had a lack of appreciation for the land. The antidote is Bikurim, to take the first fruit, the same first fruit. Those sentences, it's all Shiva Saminim. It's all of the Shiva Saminim. But there's an emphasis on the specific fruits which the Meraglim brought back, and it's brought here to show the Vidun is put in front of the Mizbeach. What does the Mizbeach have around it? the chut hasikra, a red line, a red chut, a mark of red that goes around the entire center of the mizbech. Why is there a red? Why is there a line around the center? Because there are some bloods, some korbanos, whose blood must be offered, applied to the upper portion of the mizbech, and there are some bloods that must be applied to the lower portion of the mizbech. So we have a chut. The question is, why the Chazal, from all the different things that they could have used to indicate with the top and the bottom, first of all, you don't even need a chut hasikra. If there wouldn't be a chut hasikra, you're not going to make any mistake. Anyway, you can't get that high. Five almas is 10 feet. You apply the blood on the bottom. On the bottom, on the side, or on the lower portion, you can make an evaluation. When you apply the blood on the top, anywhere you go to the top of the mizbech, on the side of the ramp, on the corners, on the bottom, it's not so complicated. There's really no need for there to be a mark. Lamala and lamata. There's no need for there to be a mark. And if you want to have a mark, you can have a gray line. There are probably things that are a little nicer. A red line is something which... it's probably unsettling. It doesn't, you know, would not fit in. I don't know the designers of this space medish. They would allow a red line going through. It doesn't look, yet Chazal said no, there has to be a chut hasikra. What's the significance of the chut hasikra? So I want to suggest that the chut hasikra is a reminder of the ois enes. Rochav Hazoina made a deal with the miraglim. It was hashkocha pratis. It could have happened that there would not have been a deal. They would have spied. They would have seen what they need to do. All of a sudden, they came in contact with this woman, and they were forced into making a shavua, and forced into being mekayim and oisemes. There's a lot of significance. There's a lot of hashkocha that when you now come into Eretz Yisrael, you're coming in with a mission to be mekayim the shavua and to be mekayim the oisemes. And the oisemes was the red, the chut hashani that was hanging out. Remember the chut hashani. This is the kavanah when you come into Eretz Yisrael, mekayim the emes, as an antidote to the lack of emes that existed at the time of the miraglim. Moshe could not say emes. When we come and bring bikurim is put in front of the mizbech. When you put the bikurim in front of the mizbech, this is also the hashlama of Eretz Yisrael. Hashem has overlooked our sins. He has given us Eretz Yisrael. We've conquered Eretz Yisrael, and now we're taking from the fruit of Eretz Yisrael. V'hischazaktem ulekachtem mipri haaretz. And what do you do? You bring it to the holiest place in Eretz Yisrael, and you put l'fnei mizbech Hashem elokecha. And what do you see right in front of your eyes when you put l'fnei mizbech Hashem elokecha? The chut hasikra. You see the red band, that red color, and that red band cannot. It's impossible not to remind you of. It's all about Eretz Yisrael. It's coming Eretz Yisrael. The other red chut that served as the ois emes. When you live in Eretz Yisrael, you have to live with the midah of emes, not with the midah of sheker.
Emes is Rosh Hashanah for Adam. I don't know what that mem is.
Emes is Edom. Adam is red. Emes and Tof is. Okay, what about the mem? You got to find the good remnants of the mem. Then we're in business. Meir. Miraglim. All right, let's go to another idea. Tzitzis. We were at Tcheles. Isn't it interesting that today that when did Tcheles cease to exist? In the 6th, 7th century. That's what the historians tell us. Tcheles is very interesting. That is one of the only things that we do not do Bizman Hazeh that has nothing to do with the Churban Beis HaMikdash. It's a very bizarre, all of the mitzvahs that we do not do Bizman Hazeh is because we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. If we did it, then because we don't, we have no choice. But Tcheles does nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. Tcheles is a mitzvah that's not Tulius Boris. And yet, due to Golus, due to the Churban Eretz Yisrael, we forgot, we have lost the Masur. What is the Sheresh of Tcheles? We think we know what it is, say the Murex. The Murex, but not everyone is so certain that it's the Murex. So therefore, people who wear Tcheles, no one's going to tell you they're wearing Tcheles because they're absolutely certain they're wearing a Chumra, but we're lacking Tcheles. So I want to suggest the following. Why did the Kadosh Baruch Hu require us to wear Tcheles? There is another place where we have a chut of Tcheles, and that is the Choshen and the Tzitz. The Yirkisu es hachoshen bitabos hoefod bipsil tcheles. How do you attach the choshen? How does the Kohen Gadol attach the choshen to the ephod? with their rings, and the real rings are sealed, they're tied with a seal to chelas. The tzitz, how do you attach the pasuk says, I don't remember the pasuk, but the pasuk explicitly says that the tzitz is fastened to the head with a seal to chelas. With a psil chazaparash tzave. It says, Beferish, you attach. Let's say, Salaf psil techelas, the tzitz attached. Where's the tzitz go? The tzitz goes bein einechem, between your eyes. It's on the forehead, it's the same place as the tefillin. Where does the cheshen go? On the heart. When you look at the tzitzis, and you look at the techelas, and you look, read the pasuk, v'loy sosuru, acharei levavchem v'acharei einechem, why specifically are you looking at techelas? Because there are two kelim in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen Gadol wears the choshen, and the choshen is alev v'hoya, alev aharon, on the heart of Aaron, and the tzitz is on the forehead of Aaron between his eyes. When you look at the tzitzis, what you're doing is, the techelas, you are connecting yourself with the Kohen Gadol. A person is connecting himself with the holiest person in Klal Yisrael. The hoyolachem letzitzis. You look at the tzitzis. Udiisim also zechartem. V'loy sosuru acharei levavchem v'acharei neichem. Just like the Kohen Gadol had upon his heart the choshen, the udim betumim, and he had upon his forehead the tzitz. No one should make a mistake and think, oh, that's good for the Kohen Gadol. I'm just your average Joe. The Kohen Gadol is a person that has to guard his heart, has to guard his eyes. But me, the average person, a regular person, you also have a dogma, a me'ain of the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol has the tzitz and the choshen, which is attached with the psil techelas. You, the average person, also have on your garments a psil techelas. Connect yourself to the Kohen Gadol. Perhaps we can suggest that's why the hashkacha process is that we don't have techelas bizman hazeh, because we don't have a Kohen Gadol bizman hazeh. The Kohen Gadol, since the techelas is, you can't say it's not a connection. There's obviously a similarity between the tzitz. And there's no Kohen Gadol. There's no Kohen Gadol. And the Mela Zelum Azeh has been weakened in Klal Yisrael, the ability to climb the mitzvah of Tcheles with what has happened. Well, Tfilin is also, yeah, we have the why. It's not totally taken away from us, but we have something. Okay, let's talk about it. We mentioned before about Kalev. Kalev, Moshe Rabbeinu was not mispalel for Kalev. So Mr. Rapport told us a beautiful idea, because Ms. Kalev had his own koyach hatzvila. Kalev had the koyach to go to the Ovos, to mispal the Kivri Ovos, and Moshe did not need to be mispal. There's another idea. I told you this idea, but I want to have a new appreciation of this idea. It's really the idea, I saw this in Rebel Yashiv. Rebel Yashiv says something very, very, very deep, that the Kolev, the Pasuk says, Kolev, Zulasti, Kolev, Yifune, Virena. Why? The Pasuk goes on to say, Ki Ruach Acheres Hoyesavo. So, Rebel Yashiv, Zech Etzadik Levracha, what was the Ruach Acheres? His wife. He was married. I want to go a little step further. I want to go a little drop further into this year than last year. His wife. He had a good wife. He had Miriam. That was the Ruach Acheres. He had a Ruach Acheres. Mimela, Moshe, yeah, you, the wife is there. The wife protects you. Ruach Acheres Chayitzaba. But it's really a lot deep. Why is it a lot deep? Because that's really the first Rashi. What? What? Yes, so you are. So yes, how are you going to say that Yoshua didn't have a good wife? So, but Moshe was mispalel for Yoshua. Maybe not. He didn't have a wife. Could be. So maybe that's why.
Yoshua, the Gemara says, was a great grandfather of 26. So it has to
be. He had already been married. Okay, so maybe he wasn't married. It wasn't the same Madrega. Okay, how can you really say that? That Yeshua did not have a wife that was on the Madrega that would protect him the same way. Kolev, she was a legend. Miriam was a legend. She was a legend. We all know that. To a Shochanegah Moshe Rabbeinu, Mimela, Ruach Acheres, she was an advisor, a friend, all the Milas, a very good word for Shev Rachas. Especially this week, I'm Shev Rachas. Ruach Acheres, a wife like Miriam, you know, you're okay. You don't have to worry, she'll take care of you. But it's deeper than that, because why is it? Because of the very first Rashi in the parasha. What was the first Rashi in the parasha? Why are the Meraglim juxtaposed to Miriam, the Tsaras of Miriam? Miriam spoke Lashon Hara. She said, Moshe Rabbeinu, you poyesh from your wife, the Isha HaKushis HaShelokach. Why? What gave you the right to be poyesh from your wife? So she was smitten with Saras. How dare you speak about Moshe Rabbeinu? B'chol Beis Hinemenu. Moshe is not like all of the other prophets. He's different. She learned her lesson. Miriam was married to Kolib. When a person, one spouse suffers, we all know this, Rachman Litzlan, in it together. When Miriam suffered Saras, there is no doubt Kolev suffered with her. Kolev went through the experience of Lashon Hara. It wasn't theoretical. You go to fifth grade and they give you the workbooks, the Chafetz Chaim workbooks with the cartoons, and you fill it out. It's all very nice, theoretical. Don't speak Lashon Hara. But then when it comes and you go out into the real world and you have nisyonos, you don't realize all of the things that the Chafetz, all the curses and all the punishment, all the horror that comes as a consequence of speaking Lashon Hara is real. It all was very nice in the coloring books. In the fifth grade, if you speak Lashon Hara, there's Saras and there's that. Okay, it's theoretical, but I'll risk it. I have a good reason to speak Lashon Hara. I'll take a risk. It's not so terrible. All of the other Meraglim, they certainly knew the laws of Lashon. They observed. They observed Miriam was stricken with Saras. They saw it. That's what the reason why it struck the post. But they did not experience it personally. Kalev was married to Miriam. Miriam was humiliated. She was sent chutz l'machne for 7 days. Tikolein shivas yamim v'yachar teosef. Chutz l'machne. It was the ultimate humiliation. Everyone saw Kalev in the street. How's your wife? How's your wife? Could be his wife. How's your wife? What's doing? Take all the questions. Who's interested? Rachman was someone, so you have to go answer every yukul to how they're doing, how's this one doing, how's that one doing. He saw his wife. It's a physical tsar. She suffered. He suffered. He went through the experience. The ruach acheres hoisabo. He was humbled by the experience. Now when you come into Eretz Yisrael, oh, you know what? We're going to say Lashon Hara. We got problems. This doesn't work. That doesn't work. We're going to say, I'm going to say Lashon Hara. Are you out of your mind? I'm not in fifth grade anymore. It's not theoretical to me speaking Lashon Hara and knowing and seeing the consequences of Lashon Hara. I know what it's like firsthand when you speak Lashon Hara. My wife spoke Lashon Hara. And you know what happened? It was the ultimate humiliation, suffering, and tsar. It's not just that he had a wife, a great wife. He was a different person. He had a different ruach because he suffered personally from the Lashon Hara.
Why doesn't it say ruach? His own ruach, but it doesn't have to be ruach acheres.
That's what it means. Ruach is in the keva. Ruach acheres, ruach can be both zoch in the keva. Ruach acheres, it means it was his. He had a different experience in life. For him, you don't have to worry he's going to speak Lashon Hara. He is going to be safe. Okay, let's go to another idea, another short idea. Vayapilu, vayapilu. This is a very powerful word. I only saw this word in the Windows to the Soul by Dr. Bernstein. I think his name is Dr. Bernstein. He's an incredible Yisoy, incredible Chiddush. All of the Mepharshim, they struggle very much with the translation of the word vayapilu. After the Meraglim came to an end, Moshe, we're not going nowhere, we're going to be stuck here for 40 years. All of a sudden, a group of people says, no, we're not staying here for 40 years, we're doing tshuva immediately, vayapilu. And they got up, and they went to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe says, don't, v'hiloy sitzlach, you're not going to be successful. They refused to listen. In fact, v'yetze ho'akanani v'ohemori v'yakum b'chorma, they were wiped out, they were killed. What does it mean v'yapilu? There is no precedent for this word anywhere in Tanakh. And Rashi struggles, no Mepharshim. Targum says they rebelled. They rebelled. End of the parasha. Towards the end of the parasha. Perik Tezvav. What was the pasuk? Perik Yudalad. Pasuk Mem Dalad. Vayapilu. Rashi. Pasuk Mem Dalad. Loshen Chozek. They were strong. They were stubborn. We're going to go anyway. They were strong. We're going to go up. Targum disagrees. Mem Dalid. They are shohu. They were wicked. Okay. Ibn Ezra says apilu interchange the ayin for an aleph. We can do that. And then it means ofel. Ofel means darkness. They acted in a state of darkness, like a dark cloud. They were not thinking clearly. They were darkened. Okay, they are different. All of the Rishonim have a different take on this word. Dr. Burst, I think this is his own idea. He says, once already the Ibn Ezra already told us that you can exchange the ayin for an aleph. A Rishonim did this. There's another word which fits very well into this word, and that is end of Parshas, I think it's Vo'era, is Barad, Makas Barad, the Chita V'Hasa'ara Lo Nuku, the wheat, Ki Afilois Hema. Aleph Pei Resh, Aleph Pei Lamed. I feel the same exact Sharish if we interchange the Aleph for the Ayin, because they were latecomers. Since there was, if the crop would have come in a little bit earlier, then the Barod would have wiped it out. Being that it was just budding, so the Barod was not strong enough to wipe out these little buds that were coming out of the ground. It means to come late. So basically, it fits very well into this pasuk. Your enthusiasm, your drive to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu is too little, too late. Vayapilu. All of a sudden, now we're going to go to Eretz Yisrael. You should have had that attitude before the Meraglim went. If that would have been your attitude, then the Meraglim would have come back with a good report. They would have had a different attitude. Your enthusiasm, it's vayapilu. Too little, too late. The Musar Haskell is, seize the moment. You have an opportunity, chaperein. If you delay and you come later on, I also want to join, you're going to be from the ma'apilim. Vayapilu, that's the Musa Haskell to take from the ma'apilim. Okay, we'll stop here. Have a wonderful Shabbos.